We're standing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus and all that you have accomplished through him in his life, death and resurrection. And we pray that as we consider our lives and the future, as we consider the challenges we face, that you would engage us with the truth of your word and open our hearts afresh to Jesus. And we ask for his sake. Amen. Do take a seat. A recent internet discussion forum invited people from different parts of the world to consider what subjects were difficult to address in public in their countries. In Thailand, apparently politics is seldom part of polite conversation. In Turkey, it's sex. In Finland, religion and money are skirted around as they're seen as very private matters. An American said that they thought that racial issues raised eyebrows there. And according to a Polish contributor, in that country, it's very rude to ask a woman how old she is. Well, I wonder what we would say in the UK. Well, according to findings from research recently reported in The Telegraph, the vast majority of people in the UK, 72% in fact, think that death is a taboo. A coalition called Dying Matters, including 16,000 hospices, charities, care homes and others working with people facing their end of life, reported that many people are uncomfortable discussing dying or bereavement. Well, none of us will be surprised to hear that. As we continue to consider the meaning and significance of Jesus' resurrection, we come face to face with an experience of death and bereavement in the story of Lazarus in John's Gospel. But it is an incident that illustrates how Jesus approached this taboo subject to show that, in fact, he has conquered death. Well, do turn to John chapter 11. It's on page 1082 in those black church Bibles, 1082. Now, we saw last week that John tells us that he wrote up his book about Jesus for a clear purpose. Chapter 20, verse 31. That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. To encourage us to believe in Jesus, the first half of John's book is arranged around seven signs, as he calls them. Now, these signs are miracles. Jesus performed miracles that were significant. Miracles that point to who Jesus is. So we begin with Jesus turning water into wine at a wedding, with Jesus showing his greatness and the transformation that he brings. There's the feeding of the 5,000, showing that Jesus is the bread of life who can meet human spiritual needs. And also, we see the sign of the healing of the man born blind, showing that Jesus can open spiritual eyes to recognize the truth of God. And the seventh sign, the greatest of them surely, is what we read this morning, the incident involving Lazarus. Now, Jesus performed these signs not to show off, not to entertain, but to teach us truth about himself, truth that we all need to hear. Now, the characters are introduced to us at the start of John chapter 11, before what Brian read for us. And we find that Jesus was close to a family in the village of Bethany. Verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. And we're told that Lazarus has become seriously ill, and the sisters send for Jesus. Now, they knew that Jesus had healed people, so it was natural to ask him for his help, given their situation. But intriguingly, John tells us in verse 6, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. In other words, Jesus deliberately delayed his visit. Indeed, he delayed until he tells his disciples in verse 14, Lazarus has died. and then he sets off for their village. Now, when Jesus arrives, verse 17, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, this meant that the formal, intense mourning period was over. And what's more, the body would have started to obviously decompose, as is clear when Jesus tells Martha later to open the tomb and she objects. Verse 39, Lord, by this time there will be an odour, for he has been dead 4 days. Well, what is clear is that Lazarus is well and truly dead. And Jesus, it seems, hadn't made it in time. Indeed, Martha says to Jesus, verse 21, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Is she telling Jesus off? Is her grief making her scold Jesus? Why are you so late? If you had got here earlier, things would have been different and we wouldn't have lost him. But as we shall see, Martha should have realized that Jesus had delayed his coming for a reason. Now, after Jesus' conversation with Martha, she went to get her sister, Mary. And when Mary meets Jesus, through her tears, she repeats her sister's comment, but perhaps a little bit more humbly as she falls at Jesus' feet as she says it. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Well, Jesus' reaction is striking. Verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. Now, famously, that verse 35 is said to be the shortest verse in the Bible. But it is one, surely, that is amongst the most illuminating. Jesus wept. Here we see Jesus full of compassion and empathy. Jesus feels deep down the sadness of these sisters in their grief, and he shares it. Now, this is one of the profound realities of Christianity, that God himself has come into our world in Jesus, God the Son, God the Word made flesh. So he knows just what it's like to go through human experiences like we do. He shares our struggles, our fears, our sadnesses. But Jesus' reaction is not simply one of sympathy, though it is clearly involves that. The phrase, deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled, in the original suggests a sense of anger. Outraged in spirit might be a phrase that captures it rather better. You see, seeing the upset at his friends, Jesus is confronted again with the evil of death. Jesus knows that death is an intruder into God's good world. And it's here because of the way that we human beings have let it in through our turning away from God. As the letter to the Romans puts it, the wages of sin, the consequences of our turning away from God, is death. So Jesus is angry at death, angry at the destructiveness. And it is with that in mind that we reach the high point of the action of this incident involving Lazarus. Verse 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, that same phrase, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. And after Martha's objection about the body decomposing, Jesus said to her, verse 40, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you have sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unwrap him and set him free, let him go. Now here is a truly remarkable demonstration of Jesus' authority and Jesus' power. A dead man, a man whose life had been extinct for days, a man whose body was beginning to rot, is brought back to life. Death is overcome. As we read from 2 Timothy, our Saviour Christ Jesus abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Well, now we see why Jesus delayed his coming. Jesus was performing a sign. Here was an acted message that, as Jesus prayed in verse 42, they may believe that you, Father, sent me. The sign pointed to Jesus and who he was. Jesus was performing a sign, as he put it in verse 4, before it happened, for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So you see, Jesus was performing a sign that shows us something of his greatness, and which would also illustrate the amazing words that he had shared with Martha before making that journey to the tomb to raise her brother. Verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. See, the raising of Lazarus was a sign pointing to that ultimate sign of Jesus' own death on the cross and his resurrection. Jesus then is the resurrection. He is the one who, by dying and coming through death, defeats death for those who rely on him and what he has done. He is the one who, by being raised himself, is validated as God's life in the flesh and the one who can give life. So Jesus' words here are something of a double promise to those who believe in him. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. The believer who lives will never die, because Christ is our life, and death, the ending of this earthly life for a time, is only an episode in a longer story of eternal life that goes on forever with him. And the believer who dies will not stay dead, because Christ is our resurrection, who has defeated death and will raise us to eternal life with him. Now, we plan to look next week more at what life beyond death means and looks like. But here we have its foundation and guarantee: Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' resurrection foreshadowed in what we read today, in his raising Lazarus from death. Now, of course, facing our own death or the death of one close to us is never an easy experience. But believing that Jesus is the resurrection and the life makes a great difference. Some of us will have heard of Bertrand Russell, the 20th century atheist and philosopher. He wrote in his autobiography, "There is darkness without, and when I die, there will be darkness within. There is no splendor, no vastness anywhere, only triviality for a moment, and then nothing." Well, what a contrast. Henry Venn, the early England cricket international and vicar, whose descendant invented the Venn diagram that we've some of us done in maths, and also who had a mother from Swanland. It's said that when Henry Venn was told he was dying, his joy at the prospect kept him alive for another 2 weeks. Well, such a positive attitude can only be possible because of the resurrection of Jesus and his conquest of death. As we've sung this morning, thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou our death has won. Well, death may well be a subject that the British don't want to talk about. But here, addressed to us this morning, is Jesus' promise and his question to a grieving relative. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the victory that Christ has won over death. And we pray that you would build our confidence in what he has done. Give us all grace as we live in this life with him as our life, and as we anticipate resurrection. We know that we live in a world where many would scoff and, like Bertrand Russell, just think that there's nothing beyond. Keep us strong in the truth that you've revealed to us, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and that those who believe in him will live even though they die. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.